We must resist who does not follow, says St. Pope Pius IV in his profession of faith of Pius IV during the Council of Trent. We must resist these things. Father again has the quotes better than I do. My point being is that it's the faith that's at stake with hetero practice as well as heresy spoken. There's two ways to spread heresy. One is by practice and one is by words. And both are effective ways of spreading heresy. And that is one very solid reason, it's not the only one, for resisting the changes which give rise to the impression of heresy. So you take the Blessed Sacrament and you move it off your main altar and you put it to the side altar, you have just made a statement to everyone in that church. Now if you did it for renovations because the church was under construction for a few days, everyone understands. It's not a mortal sin to do it in those cases. Because everyone understands there's the painting going on, the Blessed Sacrament will be removed back in a few days as soon as the renovations are over, it's all right. No one is getting the wrong impression. But if for no external reason you take the Blessed Sacrament and you move it to the side and you leave it there for a day, a week, a month, a year, 5 years, 10 years, you have given a message to the faithful. You have said to the faithful, the Blessed Sacrament is not important. Well, maybe it's important, but it's not the most important thing you have here in church. And therefore you're sending a message out there. And that is why resisting these changes, and that is why the words in Sacred Scripture, you shall not change the landmarks. Now it was certainly referred to, if you own a piece of land, you know there's landmarks, there's stakes driven in the ground, which tell you where your land is. But it's also another reason behind it. If you change the landmarks, people lose their way. And as Pope Pius XI pointed out, more people are taught the Catholic faith by the liturgy than by any other way. And so if you change the landmarks, then people lose their way. And especially if the changes in the landmarks are such that they give a wrong impression, then for saving the faith for the generations to come, you must resist those changes in the landmarks. And that is why these saintly doctors and learned men, as well as saints, have told us what we must do under these circumstances. I'm sure Father can explain this better, but I want to point out it's not simply because this society is better than that society, but it's rather he's pointing out the juridical constraints one is under, whereas the other one is not under those juridical constraints, to be able to more fully be able to resist the attack on our sacred traditions, having in the long run an attack on our faith. I hope that I have not put words in your mouth, Father, but does that answer your question? Does that state it better for you?
So the one thing I wanted to add, which is of a legal nature, Pope St. Pius V issued a solemn declaration, the quo primum tempore, whereby he established officially that the missal to be used in the churches of the Roman Rite by the priests of the Roman Rite, it was to be his Tridentine Missal, and that all others were to be utterly discarded, and henceforth in perpetuity, forever and ever, this Missal must be used and no other. Now, Pope Paul VI, when he issued the new Missal, he did not make any decree to abrogate that quo primum tempore declaration of Pope Pius V. The only thing that Pope Paul VI did, if you read the document very carefully, he presented a book. He did not promulgate a new missal. He did not promulgate a new rite. He presented a book. That is all that Pope Paul VI did. The men who drew up that document for Paul VI were legal experts. They were experts in deception. They were experts in creating the impression that all the formalities here for establishing the new rite are present. Whereas when you read the document, the most essential points that need to be made legally are not to be found in that document. They are deficient in form and content, and therefore, legally, what Pope Paul VI did was nothing at all, except to present a book. Toward the end of the document, it is very solemnly stated that everything that has been decreed in this document will go into force on such and such a date. Well, what is everything that he decreed in that document? He decreed that 3 new Eucharistic prayers are to be added into the book, and he decreed what is the formula of consecration to be printed in the book. That is all that Pope Paul VI ever decreed about the new Mass. 2 things that are to be printed in the book. Pope Paul VI never promulgated a new rite of Mass. To promulgate a new rite of Mass, he would have had to say, this is the missal to be used henceforth in the churches of the Roman Rite. And the priests of the Roman Rite are to use this missal when they celebrate the Mass and the sacraments. They are to use this one, and henceforth all others are to be discarded. Or if he were simply to say, this is now, we proclaim and we declare, this is officially the book to be used in the Roman Rite, then the previous rite would have been abrogated. However, nothing of the sort ever happened. The Pope did not abrogate. The Pope did not abrogate. The Pope simply, in no manner whatever, abolished the celebration of the Mass according to the traditional rite. Therefore, legally, the decrees of Pope Pius V, not having been abrogated or abrogated in any manner, shape, or form, remain fully in force. And legally, the official liturgy of the Catholic Church of the Roman Rite is the missal promulgated by Pope Pius V, because Pope Paul VI never promulgated the new missal. Read the document carefully. The document is only presented. The book is presented. The mere presentation of the book does not make it the official liturgy of the Church. The question needs to be asked, why did Pope Paul VI not promulgate the new missal? The answer is because he knew very well that to do so would be an act of schism. He knew that he could not do that because the Church teaching does not allow the immemorial and universal liturgy of the Roman Rite to be abrogated and replaced by a new rite. And there were men like Cardinal Ottaviani and Cardinal Bacci who told the Pope, you may not do that. And therefore, the Pope balked at it. And therefore, he just presented the book, and it was the Sacred Congregation for Divine Worship who put out the directive that this new missal is to be used in the celebration of the Mass, and it is up to the bishops to implement it. Is this legal? Well, the answer is very clearly no. Because Pope St. Pius V made it very clear, and he officially and solemnly declared that no priest can ever be forbidden in public or private to celebrate the Mass with his Tridentine Missal. And he went so far to say that no bishop or no cardinal can forbid any priest in perpetuity to use that missal. And so when the Sacred Congregation for Divine Worship, when the cardinal, prefect of the Sacred Congregation says, priests must use the new missal, they may not use the old. And when bishops say, you, Father, you must use the new missal, otherwise we suspend you. Well, Pope St. Pius V solemnly declared, and giving the full force of law to the declaration, said that no priest can be penalized in any way for using the Tridentine Missal. No priest can be forbidden, and no priest can incur any penalty. What that means is legally, all the penalties that are thrown up at the priest for using the old missal are null and void. They are of no effect. And so if a priest is suspended for using the old missal, he is not suspended at all. The solemn decree of Pope Pius V gives him the solemn right to be immune from any penalty for using that missal. Yes? I don't know. There are many things that can be done, I suppose, in particular circumstances, and I guess it depends on the individual diocese. It depends on the degree of malice of the bishop or the how good or bad the bishop may be, or also depending on the pastor, the local pastor, how good or how bad he might be. But generally speaking, it should be made very clear to them that there is a bilateral relation between parishioner and pastor, and that is the faithful indeed have the obligation to support their clergy financially, but there has to be a quid pro quo. Just like you don't give your fee to a doctor if he's a quack. I did this myself one time to a doctor. I got sick. I went to the hospital. I made the agreement with the doctor, you're going to treat me in the hospital. And he had me admitted to the hospital. And then, because the doctors in the province of Ontario went on strike, he decided not to come in. He observed the picket line. But I'm not even a Canadian, and I'm a cash-paying foreign patient. And my agreement is violated. The doctor violated the agreement. I'm his patient. I'm going to pay him, but he's got to give me the treatment that I demand. He doesn't show up. Well, he sent me the bill. Well, I didn't pay it. And he never sent a second bill, because he knew he violated the terms of the agreement. This is natural law. Likewise, the Catholic people have the right, their solemn right, to receive, as Roman Catholics, they have the right to receive the traditional, the received and approved ceremonies of the Roman Rite. And if their clergy will not give this to them, well, then they do not have the obligation to give them a penny.
Father Kramer closed his discourse reiterating the truth that the Catholic has the right to the Latin Tridentine Mass. It is not a privilege given to us by the Ecclesiae Dei Commission that they can take away. It is the Catholic's right. The Latin Tridentine Mass is the right of every Catholic. This truth was reiterated by Vatican Cardinal Alphonse Stickler on May 20, 1995. Here's what happened. In 1986, Pope John Paul II appointed a commission of 9 cardinals to examine the legal status of the traditional rite of Mass, the Tridentine Mass. The commission of cardinals included Cardinal Ratzinger, Cardinal Mayer, Cardinal Oddi, Cardinal Stickler, Cardinal Casaroli, Cardinal Gandin, Cardinal Rinascenti, Palazzin, and Tomko. And it was instructed to examine 2 questions. First, did Pope Paul VI authorize the bishops to forbid the celebration of the traditional Mass? And second, does the priest have the right to celebrate the traditional Mass in public and in private without restriction, even against the will of his bishop? The commission unanimously determined that Pope Paul VI never gave the bishops the authority to forbid priests from celebrating the traditional rite of Mass. Regarding the second question, the commission stated that priests cannot be obliged to celebrate the new rite of Mass. The priest cannot be obliged to celebrate the new Mass. And the bishops cannot forbid or place restrictions on the celebration of the traditional rite of Mass, whether in public or in private. Now, news of this report surfaced in the spring of 1989. In fact, it was an article written by Father Kramer that was published in the Fatima Crusader. And this report was contested by Monsignor Pearl from the Vatican's Ecclesia Dei Commission. But in 1995, Alphonse Cardinal Stickley removed all doubt of the report's authenticity. On May 20, 1995, at a Christi Fidelis conference in Fort Lee, New Jersey, Cardinal Stickler gave an address entitled The Theological Attractiveness of the Tridentine Mass. And during the question and answer session after his speech, the Cardinal was asked about this Nine Cardinal Commission of 1986. Now, it's worth noting that the questions and answers were written down, so the Cardinal was free to choose the questions that he wanted to answer, and he chose to reply to this one. It's not that he was trapped out by someone in the audience asking him the question point blank. He was going through the list of questions that were written down, and he chose to respond to the one about the Nine Cardinal Commission. The Cardinal began his remarks by recounting an incident where Eric de Saventhin, the former head of Uni Voce in Europe, he asked explicitly if the Tridentine Mass had ever been forbidden. Now, Cardinal Benelli, Vatican Cardinal at the time, never answered. He didn't say yes. He didn't say no. And Cardinal Stickler explained that Cardinal Benelli, and this is a quote from Cardinal Stickler, he couldn't say yes, that he forbade it. He can't forbid a Mass that has been used not only for centuries, but has been the Mass of thousands and thousands of saints and the faithful. Close quote. The Cardinal continued, the difficulty was is that he, that Pope Paul VI, could not forbid it. He couldn't forbid the Tridentine Mass. But at the same time, he wanted that the new Mass be said. He wanted it to be accepted. And so he could only say, I want the new Mass to be said. Close quote.